This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Free agency technically opens tomorrow. We're in the legal negotiating period, and a lot of players have agreed to terms. We'll talk about the Bills' agreements. And departure as well. Only one departure, though, Matt Collins. The rest, I didn't see anybody else. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as we get set to talk about it. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You also have your State of the Bills series continuing at WGR550.com with the safety position, which is something we can get into today with free agency. So, rolling through your State of the Bills series. Is this the final installment?
I will do one more, but that'll be specialists. But honestly, right. Guys, there's not a lot to talk about there because everybody's under contract. And that includes, their longs. Actually, punter, I guess, is one that will be talked about. They do need a punter. They have a punter on the roster, actually. Yeah, Jake Camarda is the only punter on the roster right now. He's also, might be Canadian as well. I think speaking of signing these Canadian guys, I think he spent time up in CFL at least. And then he was with the Buccaneers, but Reed Ferguson, Tyler Bass, and then, obviously Brandon Codrington. But I did post safeties today. Safety is an interesting one because there is a really good debate, I think, amongst Bills fans about whether or not they should pursue another safety that would go on top of Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. I don't believe the Bills will do that. It's possible, for sure. I think that would cost money that I think they don't want to have to spend because they know they have Taylor Rapp, and I think they're very confident in Cole Bishop, but I do think they have to have depth at the position. But it's an interesting spot because a lot of fans think they need to sign someone on top of the guys they have.
Well, and I think most of the lists I've seen this morning, Sal, about like who's the top free agents remaining going into the second day of the tampering period, it's usually quarterbacks at the top, and the top non-quarterback I've seen is Javon Holland.
Yeah, I heard a lot of rumblings about the Jets being interested in him.
Okay.
Very interesting, but man, he's going to cost some money. And again, I think, and that's fine. I really like him. I think he's a fantastic player. I'm just looking at it from a Bills perspective of what do the Bills think they need to do with the roster. It just feels to me like Taylor Rapp is entrenched as a starter, right? I know some fans don't think he is. I think he is. You're getting him. He was a good player last year. He was steady. He really, I think, played a bigger role and was a better player than a lot of people gave him credit for or thought he'd be. And he's also on a very cheap deal. He's counting like $3.5 million on the salary cap this coming year. And then the question is next to him, Cole Bishop. And I just think, even though McDermott, for sure did not just want to hand him the job at the combine, it almost went the other way. Like, well, we'll see. I think that's because that's the way he talks about young players, but I think they're very confident in Cole Bishop. But I wouldn't be totally surprised. I just think it's not an area where they want to focus a lot of attention to spend money in free agency, and maybe they go out and they get another young guy or two guys to kind of come in and fill some depth. They will have to make some moves there, though.
You can check out State of the Safety position at WGR550.com. Sal, how about the moves from yesterday? Let's start with Josh Palmer. That's the first move, and I think it's you know, it's funny. This is how free agency works, right? You sign a guy that's a mid-level guy and fits a need, and you're going to have some fans that are upset that it's not a better player. But for what Palmer is supposed to be for this team, how do you like the fit? How do you like the term, the money, and why does it make sense for the Bills?
Well, I'll just start with this. Free agency is about fit. That's what it is. The best teams operate by fitting in and constructing their roster for what they need around their roster. That's what free agency is about, especially teams that are as close as the Bills to winning a championship. This is not a complete tear down, rebuild, obviously. They're not just going out there and spending a whole bunch of money to bring guys in and say, we need to win some more games. That's not what they're trying to do. The Bills are right there. They're knocking on the door. They need the guys to fill in the little pieces that are missing on the roster to help them get to the next step. And I think everybody would agree that one of the huge things that was missing last year, very evident, we talked about it every Monday, it seemed like, on this show, guys, is they had a lot of trouble beating man-to-man defense. I remember specifically after the Ravens game, this started. The Ravens game was the first one. They go down to Baltimore, they lose the way they did. And I remember coming out here in the morning with you guys, and I said, guys, I was on the field, and they could not get open. They just couldn't get open. Could not get open man-to-man. And you know what the Ravens did? They said, we're going to challenge you because we know you can't get open. We're going to challenge you. We're going to come up. We're going to be physical with you. We're going to get in your face. Your receivers can't beat us. And then we're going to get after your quarterback. And I said to you guys that morning, I was almost afraid for like Josh Allen's health if that continued, because they really beat him up. And teams had a blueprint now against the Bills. That was a theme all year. Now, the Bills got a little better at it. They did some things. They had a really nice offensive line. They obviously brought in Amari Cooper later. That didn't go great, but it was okay for them. And, you know, that was still something they had to do. Well, here comes Josh Palmer. This man is a man-to-man outside beater. You can look at his speed and say he's not fast enough. That's fine. He's not slow. 4.5 isn't slow. It's also not blazing fast. But that's not his game. His game is to win with route running, to win when he gets to the top of the route, to navigate, to turn around, to find the little nuances, and then to win when the ball is thrown towards him, the way he can catch the ball with someone around him. Don't look at his separation numbers, because he's not going to separate when he's always playing man-to-man on the outside. People are going to be near him, but he catches the ball with people near him. But he is going to separate based on his role compared to other people who do the same thing, if that makes sense. He's better at that thing than a lot of other people are at that thing. As far as the money's concerned, I have my reservations. I mean, $12 million a year, I think that's what it is, right?
Yep.
Is quite. I mean, we'll see what the actual money is, guys. We don't know until it comes out, but that's what the high end being reported. Sure, I will tell you, like, man, that, like, you got to use him now. Now, to me, it becomes on Joe Brady now. You didn't find a way to use Curtis Samuel last year, and some of that was Samuel's injury. He had a turf toe mostly all the year dealing with it. I get it. It did. $8 million a year wasn't extravagant, but he really was never able to be a real part of the offense. They have this everybody-eats mentality. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Josh Palmer is going to be eating, you know, 80 targets. I don't think that's the case. Maybe. He's still probably not going to be the number one option in the offense. It's probably Khalil Shakir. So at the end of the year, you might have fans say the same thing. But he absolutely fills a need the Buffalo Bills have as they're constructing a roster to fill out the parts that they need to get to the next step.
Yeah, to me, Sal, like, it's about those matchups where you mentioned it, like the Ravens. If a team is going to try to hammer you with man and dare you to beat them, like, right, maybe Palmer doesn't have an 80-catch season, but does he have three games for me over the course of the year where he has eight catches?
Right.
And
is that just... I think I said targets, but that's what I mean. Like, he's not going to be a monster catch guy, but he's going to make probably catches in games and in moments and matchups, as you say, Joe, that you're going to want him to be very relevant in.
You know, it's not just, you know, Sal, you mentioned, like, the Ravens. Joe Marino had the numbers of the Locked On Bills podcast. The Bills in the last two seasons have faced more man coverage than any other team. And that's with Josh Allen as a quarterback that can run when you turn your back, and they still don't respect the Bills receivers for 2 years. So that's where Palmer fits in. All right, I feel like I want to ask about Mac Hollins and then ask about the collective of the two moves and put that in with Cooper. Like, where are the receivers? If you know, go just the timeline of it. Oh, Palmer's here. Great. Palmer and probably Mac Hollins, and Palmer's your Cooper replacement. And sure, it's a lateral move maybe for what Cooper is now. Now that Hollins is gone, Sal, are we right back to, all right, need another receiver in this mix?
First of all, let me say I'm just as surprised as a lot of people about Mac Hollins. I really believed he would come back to the Bills. I know for sure that him and his family really loved being in Buffalo, and I think the Bills really enjoyed having him here. And I don't know this yet. Haven't talked to anybody since this all went down. My sense is that the price got a little pricey for the Bills. You know, they had Mac Hollins for a very low deal last year, $2 million. He signed for what could be up to $10 million for over 2 years with the New England Patriots. It's going to be at least eight, I think. So probably got a little pricey for the Bills. And then when they signed Josh Palmer, they're like, okay, we already spent, you know, 12 on him essentially. And Mac Hollins is probably looking and going, wait a minute now, where am I here? Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, Josh Palmer, like, where do I fit in? And he has a better opportunity to play in New England. And maybe, and look, I think maybe any, more than anything, too, let's remember, he played with Josh McDaniels when he was in Vegas. And I think he actually did pretty well there under Josh McDaniels. Had a nice year. So, you know, there's a relationship there. So I think that's how that probably went down. And, of course, Mac Hollins, a fan favorite, so it's tough to lose him. Yeah, they're going to have to add the wide receiver. Look, just on sheer numbers, they have seven on the roster right now. They're probably going to add at least six more before training camp, to be quite honest with you guys. Does that all have to be in the draft and undrafted free agents? No. There's going to be a couple other guys out there that are, have professional experience, guys that are, you know, free agents right now with other teams. There's no doubt about that. Amari Cooper is a free agent. I'd be stunned right now as I sit here if the Bills bring back Amari Cooper. You know who Amari Cooper is? He's the new Josh Palmer, to be quite honest with you. Like, isn't that what Amari Cooper's game was? Not the fastest guy in the world, but a guy that can beat man coverage on the outside, and he can do it with route running. Like, he is, that's what he is. And I'm not saying that Josh Palmer is Amari Cooper. Like, the production, obviously, is not the same. But isn't that style of the game the same thing they just signed?
He might have more than Cooper has right now. I mean, otherwise, yeah. I mean, I don't know what Cooper's going to get. I don't know how much.
Right.
But
I think the numbers back up that he, if you even remember his biggest plays with the Bills, they were contested catches. So he can make an impact doing that, but his days to me of getting open one-on-one like that are probably, like, I kind of view the Palmer move as an upgrade. Not like anything dramatic, right. But if we're comparing to what Cooper was with the Bills, and it's the separation and the man beating, like, I almost feel like Palmer could be an upgrade.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And for this year, and my point was, I'm not comparing their careers, obviously. Amari was very good, even young,
right.
Young Amari, early in his career, is very good. So I'm not comparing their careers, but at that point, he is kind of a Cooper replacement and probably an upgrade in that regard at this point in time in both of their careers. Okay, so you look down the roster. So we all know they have Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil. Maybe Tyrell Shavers becomes your Mac Hollins replacement. This is a guy that we saw his first ever NFL touch, took it to the house, really nice play. But he's a guy that we all thought had a really nice training camp, really nice preseason. He can play on the outside, and he's a bigger body. He's taller, and he can play on special teams. He can be a gunner. So, and that, when Mac Hollins did for you a little bit. So I think if you're actually looking for a Mac Hollins replacement, it might already be on your roster in Tyrell Shavers.
The other agreement not yet signed, Michael Hoyt, Sal, who is a what does he do? Everything? Is he a,
wow,
is he play corner? Is he play safety? I mean, like, you know, he does stuff in the front seven. That's basically how we can look at him. Former Rams player who signs, you know, a decent deal and gives the Bills, would it be wrong to say he gives them a bit of a wild card kind of player?
Yeah, this is really interesting to me. First of all, let me ask you guys. I put these guys on my spreadsheet, on my roster, I really had to think about where to put him. Where would you put him if you were me? What position? What under what position on your spreadsheet roster? Where should I put him?
This is like, what position should Taysom Hill be in your fantasy league? He should be, at least be edge or tackle. Like, if you could put like a D-line category. But if I'm looking at his snap cell, it does look like he plays more. Like, do you do by edge, by the way, or do you defensive end and linebacker?
I have DE slash edge as one category. I have DT and I have LB.
I'd probably put him there just because that's where he plays the most. But I mean, even that, like, it's, there's a
DT
solid
edge?
Chunk at other
DE
places.
DE edge, I mean?
Yeah, DE edge.
You put him
edge,
at defensive end edge?
Yeah.
That's what I did. I put him at edge because what I really think is, it's not where he's played. I swear, I think he'll play for the Bills more than anything.
Okay.
Right?
So, for an edge sale, he's huge, right?
Yeah, he's big.
I guess, I can't even say that because sometimes he's 311, sometimes he's 260. So I guess I can't even.
That's funny.
Right? He's played these different positions, but also at different sizes.
Well, yeah. And listen, I know he's not the exact same size. In that regard, he's kind of like Dewan Smoot, who can play inside and outside, right? Where you need a guy who can play a little bit of both. He's a bigger guy who can play on the outside. You feel comfortable with that. And Dewan Smoot actually is a much bigger body, 264. Although this guy, what is his size? Let me go get it right now.
Pro Football Focus
just had it here for a second.
List him at 310, 6'4", 310.
Right.
But he's also played at 267.
Okay. There you go. 267. Wait, 6'4", 267. So I was thinking about this. 6'3", 264 for Dewan Smoot, right? So he actually becomes, in that regard, the inside-outside guy is your Dewan Smoot replacement. The difference is, this guy, as you said, he can morph. He's like a transformer, right? I mean, it's like, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to be today? I can be inside. I can be outside. I can be a defensive end. I can linebacker. I can drop in coverage. One thing I would be confident in saying, he's not going to play pure linebacker for the Bills because he's not a true off-the-ball linebacker like a Terrell Bernard or a Matt Milano. The Bills roll with two linebackers. He's not a Mike and he's not a Will. When he plays linebacker, it's more on the outside, it's more on the edge, it's more off the ball. But if you need him to do that, you can. It also reminded me of, you guys remember when the Bills signed Lorenzo Alexander years ago and we had the same conversation?
Yeah. What position is he? Yeah.
Lorenzo Alexander played offensive line and defensive line before going to linebacker and doing all different things that he did in defensive end, whatever. So, the reason why I say is a super interesting signing. So I think this is a bit of a departure for what the Bills do a lot of times, guys. The Bills don't really, they love versatility, but generally the versatility is you kind of know, okay, this guy's going to be your safety linebacker tweener, right? This guy's going to be your edge defensive tackle, can kick inside, outside. They love versatility. This is a totally different kind of versatile player where, I mean, I don't know who he replaces and when, but they're going to have a lot of options to do that during the game because of what you said. Like, I can't remember a player the Bills have had, really, where exactly and when is he going to line up somewhere? This is like almost on offense picking, I don't know, is this like a Dalton Kincaid, I guess, right? You draft him and say, think of him as a wide receiver, Jeremy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could line him up. You can flex him out. They love versatility. We all know that, and I'll be the first to tell you that. I'm saying this is the different kind of versatile. And the other thing is, if you told me that they were going to sign a defensive player on day one of free agency, I would have thought it'd be a big, like, space-eating defensive tackle or a pure edge rusher. Now, he is more pure edge rusher than a space-eating defensive tackle, but he's all these different things. I find it fascinating. He did have 6 sacks 2 years ago, and then he was only down to 3 last year. In that 6 sack season, he actually started all 17 games. One thing about him I really do like as well, he has played every single game all 4 years of his NFL career. Mm-hmm. He's been available, which is very big for the Bills, what they like to have, guys that are available. He is a guy who's from Ontario. He has only played in the NFL. He's an undrafted free agent out of Brown University, by the way, mm-hmm. an Ivy League school. So he's smart. Everything I read about him is he's a dog. Like, he's kind of a guy that you just love having around, right? In your locker room, very high energy. He reminds me of the athleticism that Connor McGovern had that we talked about when he was signed as well, where he could play center, he could play guard, he even played a little fullback for the Dallas Cowboys. So I wonder if they have a specific position they see him as, or if they're really going to move him around the board like, should I say, a chess piece.
Yeah. His relative athletic score checks out with what the Bills like, a 9.93. And elite athleticism, explosion, agility, all that. Chris Trapasso pointed out that his pressure rate at defensive line, defensive edge, has been 11% the last 2 years. As Joe mentioned in the update, he played slot defender, which is
find the video of him covering DK Metcalf and knocking the ball
away.
And
it's not just one play. Yeah. 33 snaps as a slot defender, a bunch of snaps at linebacker. Right, so chess piece. He'll be one of the most interesting guys to watch at training camp. Or, Sal, like every once in a while, how are they going to use this guy? What are they doing with this guy? So it's interesting. As we turn the page, Sal, to...
Wait, can I say one more thing?
Sure, yeah.
He also plays a lot of special teams, and he blocked 3 kicks last year.
Right.
He blocked 3 kicks last year. He blocked 2 field goals and a PAT last year.
Yeah.
Did he do it by jumping over the center? I feel like all we're hearing about him is he might be capable of that, too.
But think about that. I mean, that's somebody you think, okay, we're going to also put him on special teams. He's going to play for us there, and he kind of fills a need, as you're, throughout your roster.
He, by the way, what I read is, like, middle of the pack and all the pass rushing stuff.
Very good,
like,
against the run.
Top level, like, rush grades and numbers, whatever. Between him and, I guess, Palmer, too, because of the money, Sal, like, we've talked so much about a big-name defensive end this offseason. Is anything the Bills did yesterday with contracts make you think that a big-ticket item, if it falls in their lap, is now off the table?
Well, let me give you some names on that, because that's what I wanted to get to with Sal next. If you want a big-ticket defensive end, who's out there? Za'Darius Smith?
It's still Hendrickson.
It's Hendrickson in a trade.
And then Smith,
And maybe if you want interior, Charles Omenihu. I've also got Jonathan Allen, of course, from the Commanders. So there are some pieces out there, Sal. What do you think about that? Big ticket defensive end still in the mix, and more free agent signings today potentially in the mix?
There's always a way, guys. There's always a way. If you really want to do it, you can. And listen, I'll say this again because we don't know. It really depends on what the salary cap money is. If there's a bigger ticket defensive end, does it have to be a guy that you sign to a longer-term deal? Can it be a one-year deal and you've been saving up some money this year by structuring these contracts? Greg Rousseau's contract, he was going to make $13.5 million. They moved it down to just $5 this year and $11 next year. Like, they're saving money these next 2 years on the salary cap. We don't know the Bernard numbers yet. I'm sure that's going to come in the same way. Same thing they did with Shakir. So there's going to be some money here if they want. They can figure out a way to have some money. They could still play in that realm if you want. We'll see how it is, but we don't know the exact numbers. So Palmer and Hoyt as well, like, we hear these numbers. Palmer, $12 million. It's sticker shock for a lot of people. Folks, wait till we know the exact details. It could very well be that he signed, and for this year he's going to make, $5-6 million and count maybe $6 million on the cap or something like that. And then next year it's a tick higher, but you can get out of it after 2 years and there's not as much guaranteed. So let's see where the money falls for all these guys. But I would think if they want to, they can always find a way to do that. Same thing on the interior. You talked about Jonathan Allen. Calais Campbell still out there. Javon Hargrave. He's a little older now, but I will tell you, years ago, I knew the Bills were interested in Javon Hargrave. That was when he went, I think, from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia at the time, I think. So there's still some guys out there. We'll see. Sebastian Joseph Day is a guy that a lot of people have always felt that could fit for the Bills. But they're going to have to sign guys. I mean, look, they can't just fill out the rest of the roster, again, only with draft picks and undrafted free agents. I have them at 58 active players right now after yesterday's move. They have to get to 90 before training camp.
Sal Capaccio on the Westra Hotline. Sal, we'll talk again tomorrow, I'm sure, because, more stuff in the NFL today. Do you have any non-Bills move you found to be the most interesting?
I came back from the combine saying I thought the Pittsburgh Steelers might be the most interesting team that I was hearing about at the combine and what's going to happen, only because, like, who knows what's going to happen. And I think yesterday's still very interesting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the quarterback carousel, that whole group right there. I just kept listening yesterday. X was down yesterday. Twitter was down. So I turned it on the TV side. I was listening to Schefter and everybody talk about how, like, there's basically three teams: the Jets, the Giants, and the Steelers, and there's three quarterbacks: Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. And, like, one's going to go one, the other one's going to go the other, and the third one's going to go there. And my thought kept being, well, is this up to, like, is there a hierarchy here? Like, is one of the three the most coveted? Or is there a preferred landing spot for the three here? Well, we know now Justin Fields is at the Jets. That's super interesting. The Bills will face Justin Fields. Look, I give Aaron Glenn and the Jets credit. I think they're trying to do it right this time, to be honest with you, but I think they're taking a step back before they can take a step forward. And, Justin Fields is not a guy that really moves the needle as far as a quarterback. Good for him. He's going to have an opportunity, but I don't think they're going to be all that great this year. We'll see. And then, obviously, now you have maybe a kind of an unofficial trade of quarterbacks. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers for Justin, and Justin Fields is in the Jets, that's like a swap. And then does that leave Russell Wilson with the Giants? Or does Aaron Rodgers go with the Giants? I haven't seen anything overnight, but to me, that's very, very interesting what's going on.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We'll get a break in. Paul Hamilton on the other side on the Sabres. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Plenty of free agents still out there. Some trades, of course, to be had. I mean, Trey Hendrickson and probably a few that we don't even quite know about right now. So we'll, of course, keep track of that. Sal coming up with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show throughout the week as well as we track all these moves. Jeremy and Joe, Paul, when we get back on the Sabres win over Edmonton and your calls as well as free agency continues here on WGR.
Trying to leave it for Drysdale. That's broken up. Now race for it. Bouchard. And he's got his hands full here right in front of the net. Scores! Tage Thompson! Sabres with the steal, and then they seal the deal with a 3-2 lead over the Oilers with 16:40 to go here in the third period.
One of the first moments of the game for the moments in life go forth to Firth Jewelers. Sabres win, beat the Edmonton Oilers, and we'll talk about it with Paul Hamilton. Of course, we're looking into how Josh Norris looks, the newest member of the Buffalo Sabres Corps. UPL played really well in this game, and the Sabres win. And Paul's joining us. His appearance brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. Hey, Paul.
Hello. How are you?
Fun game last night. The game had some juice.
Yeah, it did. There's a lot of back and forth early in the game, and you talked about Lukanen, and that was the Lukanen we saw last year. You know, you get goaltending like that, you always are going to have an opportunity to win a hockey game, Certainly, he was there in every period, first, second, and third. It wasn't like he stood on his head and stole them a victory, but he absolutely, you know, I think gave juice to the fans, make great saves on Draisaitl early on McDavid when he came flying in. I mean, those guys did have some chances. They're always going to have some chances with those two and the talent they have, especially since for maybe probably half the game or more, they were on the same line together. And, you know, Lukanen came up big every time he needed to against those two.
And on top of that, Paul, Lukanen comes up big. Did it feel like Ryan McLeod, it was kind of this is why we got him type game? He got matched up with the McDavid line a lot, and they got their chances, but They didn't kill the Sabres last night. I don't know. It felt like McLeod, whenever he was out there, held his own as much as anyone would be expected to.
He knew what he was doing, he's got the speed to keep up with McDavid. I mean, when they were on the same team, people would debate who was faster. And so he can be with him and take some of his time and space away from him. And as Lindy Ruff said, with McDavid, he goes, you watch any game, he goes, in our pre-scout, he goes, you watch any game, he's going to get 3 to 5 no matter what chances like that using his speed. And that's what he did against the Sabres. But, you know, you got to limit how many chances he's going to get. And I think that's what McLeod did. Yeah, McDavid got a few, but it wasn't like he was in Lukanen's face all night long. You know, They kept it spaced out. They kept some of the chances, you know, further away. He did cut in on a breakaway that Lukanen made a save on. And I thought McLeod, you know, going against McDavid in practice all the time when he was an Edmonton Oiler, he knows what McDavid's all about. He saw him in all the games. And, you know, he did a pretty good job of taking time and space away from him on some of the rushes.
Paul, on Lukanen, he's had a shaky month, season. I mean, you could really put whatever time frame you want on that, but played pretty well in this game.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he really had played well since the break. And, you know, Lindy Ruff even said after, I believe it was the Tampa game, we needed a save. I mean, Vasilevskiy gave you a gift. He scored 5 on Vasilevskiy, which almost never happens. And he was not all that good, and yet Buffalo still lost the game 6-5. Not all Lukanen's fault.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you didn't get a big save at a big time in that hockey game, and you hadn't been getting that since the break. And there have been streaks this year, I thought, where he's played pretty well, but nowhere near what we saw last year when he took over and, you know, was the undisputed number one goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres, and it looked like they had found their goalie. Now, there's a question mark. I mean, unless, you know, with the season he's had this year, it's like, well, is he the goalie or isn't he? Was last year just a freak year? Or, you know, is this year a bit of a freak year? And, you know, he's still got some time here to, you know, show the Sabres he can get back to what he was last year. And but still, it's not a lot of time. I mean, there's just a little about a month left in the season. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. What do you do with him in the off season? How do you think about him? Do you still think about him as a number one goaltender, or, you know, are you looking at, well, maybe you got to turn to Levi next year. Maybe he's the number one goaltender, or it's mm-hmm. something they're going to have to look at.
Yeah, because they would. I don't know if it's ever put this way because he's a goaltender, but he would be considered part of the core, right? When Adams gets asked about the core and shakeups, like I'm not ever thinking about the idea of Lukanen being traded, but if they're going to shake up the core, I think he's a part of it.
I think he is too. I think he, last year, I thought he earned the number one goaltending position, and it seemed like he had taken the job. Definitely, I think he's part of the core. Now, you know, he's past 25, and, you know, when sometimes it takes goaltenders a little longer, and I thought maybe with him it did, but it looked kind of like Allmark. I mean, Allmark really wasn't a number one goaltender in the NHL till maybe his last season with the Sabres. And he was, you know, up around the age where Lukanen is too, when he kind of took off and his career took off. So it's not uncommon for a goaltender to be, you know, where Lukanen is in age, you know, to be a number one goaltender.
Paul Hamilton joining us. Let's get to Eye on the Blue and Gold, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. I want to ask about Josh Norris, Paul, and an eye on him. It's a couple games. What have you seen from him, and what are you looking for when watching him?
Yeah, you know what? He spent about 2.5 minutes penalty killing yesterday, and That's another thing, the Sabres. Yeah, they gave up a power play goal on the Oilers' first power play. Then they did a nice job. You know, again, you got Dreisaitl. You got McDavid out there in the power play. They had three more power plays, and Norris was out there, as I said, for about 2.5 minutes. I thought did a nice job. He actually led a 2-on-1 the other way on, you know, with Tuck on a penalty kill. And it seems like he's starting to get a little bit of a chemistry now with Thompson. Really a good play. Good pressure on Bouchard coming down the right side. It looked like he was behind Bouchard. Next thing you know, he was with him. And next thing you know, he's like a half a step ahead of him. And forced the play and got the puck and found Thompson, who did a good job, I thought, of making himself available immediately if, you know, Norris was able to get that puck, which he was. And then Thompson was able to cut to the net by himself. And very patient goal, you know, to let Skinner kind of take himself out of the play first and then just calmly put it up over him and into the net.
Paul Hamilton with us. Kevin Adams got this question yesterday from Shope and Bulldog. Paul, it's been 3 months maybe now, Thompson playing on the wing, and with Kulik season and now Norris being here, do you feel like he's, not to say he would never play center again, but that if you're thinking about this team going forward, that it might feel like he's more likely to be playing on the wing?
No, I don't think it's more likely. I don't think they've decided yet. I think they still want to see how all the dominoes fit and how they fall in, and they have options with him, you know, put it that way. You know, what exactly what they want to do, and when they sit down and if Lindy Ruff's still the coach and they sit down and they talk about it and, you know, where does he fit in to the picture. But since January 20th, Thompson is the league leader in goals with 14.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline as we chat about the Sabres last night and their win over the Edmonton Oilers. What else looking forward, Paul, here? I mean, you've seen a losing streak come to an end. And is it Operation Get the Power Play going? I've seen some numbers, by the way, on the Sabres, 5-on-5. Not just this year, but the last 3 years, this has been a team that's been good at 5-on-5, scoring more than playoff teams. And to, I mean, it probably sounds like oversimplifying it. Their power play is the reason they stink multiple seasons now. And I don't know what the long-term answer is for that, if it's coaching change, if it's better players. But
they probably hope Norris helps that, too.
Yeah, it really is a thing that has sunk them to a level that, I mean, it's kind of comical. It shouldn't happen that your power play could be this bad and sink you that far.
Well, I looked at it when we heard that Lindy Ruff was the coach, and one of the things I looked at was 4 years with Dallas and 4 years with the Devils. The power play wasn't all that good in those stops. And there were times, like especially with Dallas, where he had one of the better scoring teams in the NHL, which at times he's had with the Sabres. But his power plays have never really been all that good. So I wasn't expecting a huge improvement on the power play with him coming in, and we obviously have not seen that. So, and with Rasmus Dahlin as your trigger man in the power play and Tage Thompson out there and Alex Tuck, look at Alex Tuck, the role he's on. And he has one power play goal this year, and he just scored it like within the past couple weeks. That's crazy. I mean, and he's played on the one unit, he's played on the two unit, and, you know, Alex Tuck is a good power play player, but, you know, he's had his problems on the power play too, and imagine how many goals he would have if, you know, he was had been a contributor goals-wise on a power play. He has more shorthanded goals than he has power play goals. So, you know, it's just been mind-boggling with Dahlin quarterbacking the power play, how it just has not come through for them.
Sabres in Detroit tomorrow, then home for Vegas on Saturday. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton joining us to recap the Sabres win over Edmonton.
Tuck, in the last 2 years, if you want to go back, the last 137 games, 3 power play goals, 4 shorthanded goals. In that amount of time. Also, I didn't realize yesterday that Bo Byram has not had a point since before the Super Bowl.
You know what else we forgot yesterday? We didn't do it. We really didn't get to the dog of the day. What was the dog yesterday? I never saw what the hot dog of the day was.
Good. Well, we talked about it being a Skinner themed dog sort. He did get a tribute video.
Did. Good.
His teammates made him stand up for it.
Good.
Like he was sitting on the bench. I didn't see what the dog ended up being though. Something with olive oil, maybe.
Because of the Oilers.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible. 803-0550. Eric Turner of Cover One, top of the hour, to break down the fits the Bills have picked up here with Josh Palmer and Michael Hoyt. And, of course, on to day two of the legal communication period before signings can happen tomorrow. So NFL News expecting it to start rolling out again soon this morning. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Hey, everybody. It's Jeremy and Joe. A nice sunny,
very nice
Tuesday.
Out. Very nice day out.
Yeah. This time of year, I mean, granted, it'll be, I'm sure we'll have another dip into some temperatures we don't like and some rain because spring tends to be rainy, but man, yesterday was amazing. The number of people that just come out and walk around neighborhoods and walk around the park.
You see people on walks with the dog and passing that like you haven't seen. Like, oh, I haven't seen you in 6 months.
Yeah. It's nice. Very nice. So enjoy it if you can get out there today. What else? NFL news.
I was just looking at the names of the top available free agents at each position. At receiver, it's Diggs. And then Cooper. So you're at the older guys right now. Evan Ingram is still available at tight end. That's not a Bills move. And quarterback. How many of these guys get starting jobs? Rodgers will get one. Wilson will get one. Does Daniel Jones, is there enough left? No, right? There's two left, right? It's the Giants and the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's starting. Although Schefter said yesterday he's not so sure the Browns take a quarterback now. And they traded for Kenny Pickett. So they're done?
They have to take a quarterback.
That's what I think, but I don't know. Watson and Pickett quarterback competition at the start, that would feel insane. But
one odd thing, just reading at ProFootballTalk.com, about Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. So Puka said, hopefully I'll be a good negotiator because they both wear number 17.
Oh, okay.
Which I would say, yo, you're Puka Nacua. You don't have to give up your number.
Yeah.
You are a big deal, man. What? Puka wore 12 in high school and college, and maybe he'll switch back to 12 and give Devontae Adams 17. But, you know, you're Puka Nacua.
Is there an offer that he would take, though, for that?
Shouldn't the NFL discourage it? Like, whoa, hold on a second. People buy your jersey. You know, just change it.
Right. I mean, a lot of people own your jersey.
Yeah. I mean, this is not somebody comes in and a backup safety has to swap out a number or something like that.
Did you see
In fact, who was it that got signed for like a week? There was a signing recently where a guy got a number and then
This is the Mikko Rantanen story in Carolina.
Yes.
Jack Roslovich
got a Rolex
sold his number. He got money and a Rolex or something from Rantanen who had his number, and then Rantanen got traded a month later.
Yeah.
And Roslovich said, I'm just going to take my number back. And now he's got the watch.
Right.
And the money. So he kind of made out.
Yeah, you're Jack Roslovich. Sure, sell your number. You're Puka Nacua.
Right.
You don't have to do that.
Josh Palmer was number 5, by the way.
Okay. I think Kyrie Elam.
Okay. Bean maybe is like, just wait a week.
Five might be.
Five
might be available. Yeah. Josh reaches out. I'm thinking about buying my number.
Don't text him. Yeah.
Don't spend any money yet.
Yeah.
Just wait a minute.
Yeah.
803-0550. Eric Turner of Cover One. When we return, we like to chop it up with Eric a little bit once in a while. And he's got breakdowns on both Josh Palmer, who they kind of tabbed as a fit before the signing, and Michael Hoyt as well as a chess piece in what he can do defensively. We'll do that. And also the targets that are still out there that the Bills could add here in free agency as they look to bolster their roster. 803-0550, our number. If you want to get a call in, we're happy to have you. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.